Hello, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Kimo Oberlo, and I'm one of the senseis with Structured Lean. This is episode 2 of, well, currently a number unknown, but we promise to let you know when we get there. But it is episode 2 of Legacies from Life's Lessons Learned, talking about, well, precisely that. The lessons that were learned in the life of Roy Nakaue, our master sensei here at Structured Lean. Once again, it is nice to be here with you, Roy.
Kimo, thanks for having me again, and good to be back and to see you.
And it's good to see you also. For those of you that are picking us up here, our first episode is available where we get into some foundational elements of business and how they influence what we do in our personal life. You will also find that we go in depth about 3G management and the application of the 3 circles. In this episode, though, we are continuing our discussion as we move into the 70s and 80s, which Roy likes to refer to as his learning and doing years. But before we continue, I would like to find out a little more about Roy and how he came to work for Denso. Could you take us back a few years and tell us the route you took to gain entry into the Toyota production system?
Well, Kimo, I started or joined the Toyota Group in 1972. And at that time, there was no Denso. It was called Nippon Denso, and it was part of the Toyota Group. Toyota had already established its own sales company called Toyota Motor Sales USA, Inc. in Torrance, California. And then I was recruited by one of the Japanese executives to come and meet with him to tell me about an opportunity for me to join the Nippon Denso, their parts manufacturing group, which was being establishing their own North America operations in California. And so he asked me if I would be interested, and then this led me to join the company and then started my lean journey with the production system, as well as in California and in Japan.
Ah, that's really interesting. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, we are going to talk about the 70s and 80s. You talk a lot about the human aspects and how they interact with those methodologies as they get applied to business. Let's start there.
Okay, Kimo, I call this my learning period because I had mentors. A key person for this was Dr. Ishimaru, and there were other people as well. Dr. Ishimaru was at that time senior managing director, board member for Nippon Denso Japan. And what he told me and what he shared and I learned from him was the human aspects and how to apply the human aspects into the methodology for business. So as an example, A3 development for strategic supply chain for North America, for the Toyota Denso Group, for the North America launch for Toyota vehicles, and then established strategic suppliers to implement the JIS standards for manufacturing products for Toyota vehicles in North America, and then also train in Japan for this and participate in the A3 development of the global strategy for the North America supply group.
Let me interrupt for a minute. You threw out a couple acronyms there. I want to make sure everybody kind of understands what they are. Can you give me just a few words on A3? And also, when you talk about JIS standards for manufacturing, what is JIS?
Okay, well, first let me talk about the JIS standards so you understand. In the US, everybody knows or automotive companies use what they call SAE standards, Society of American Engineers.
Ah, okay.
In Japan, they use the JIS standards, which is Japan Industry Standards. In Europe, the Germans have their own standards. So back in the 70s, all 3 standards were applied globally. But what Toyota wanted and Nippon Denso wanted was the American parts manufacturer that we would be working with to use the JIS standard, which is the higher standard with a higher quality aspirations to meet the what we call quality built into the vehicles. So that's okay. What the JIS stands for.
Okay,
now, the A3 is another story altogether. The A3 is a method that they use to have what they call a one-page summary document to capture all the things that you need to have on one paper, which starts with the business case, the reason why you're doing this, what is the current situation as you see it, what is the target situation that you would want to go, where you want to achieve, and then your action plans that you would have to do to implement this in order to get it done. And then finally, what are the targets or the KPIs that you would use to measure your improvements or where you want to get at? And so All of this was signed on a document by everyone involved in this, from the highest level to the working level. And it was called a one-page summary. It was called an A3 paper, primarily because Toyota started using this paper, which actually is a German paper, blank piece of paper called A3 on the back. It's the size of an 11 by 17 piece of paper.
Yes. Okay. I've seen that before. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt, but please continue.
No. And so supplier selection and strategy for raw materials and subcomponents, and then implement the strategic thinking behind that, the strategic Kaizen, and then also how to create a supplier development program based on what they call the Kenkyusho. Kenkyusho means to bring the suppliers all under one group or under one base. And then the application to do this for teaching and training and coaching was called Jishuken, which is also means that you transfer the knowledge. I think you know something about this, yeah?
Yes, it's I believe what you're when you talk about this, you're talking about learning by doing, and so it's not just classroom work, and it's actually going out on the floor and applying quickly what you just learned. Okay, and so it's definitely, I'm a firm believer in this application. But yeah, please continue.
Okay, so yes, you're right. This is absolutely correct, Kimo. What I learned from Dr. Ishimaru is that the best way to do learn by doing is that you will retain if you do and learn at the same time. This helps you to have a better understanding. But he also told me what's more important than that. It's not just the learning also, but how to be able to apply what you learn is really the lessons learned. If you don't apply what you learn, then it's not really a lessons learned. And so you have to do this. In order to do this, you have to understand what are your adjustments that you may have to make or changes you have to do sometimes. Sometimes just based on the situation, you see it differently, may not always apply the same way. And so you make small adjustments or you decide to change the course for a little bit. But everything is based on PDCA and go and see and using PDCA. Again, the C and the A part of the PDCA. That's part of the learning by doing.
Yes. Okay. And so to apply quickly and learn as you go, and to make those quick little changes that you need to make, that you can't learn all the nuances in a classroom or in an office. You have to go out to where the action is happening and try it and not just learn it.
Exactly. Same thing as, and then of course, the supplier track to Japan for annual visits and learning about TPS and the Keiretsu thinking and how to prepare them for the Toyota car plant launch for the 80s. It actually was in 1984. Okay.
Yeah, you have a question? Well, when you talked about Keiretsu thinking, I just wanted to clarify it for everybody so everybody understands. The Keiretsu is the family of suppliers that supply to an OEM. And so you are talking about bringing U.S. companies into the Keiretsu and teaching them how the Keiretsu thinks and operates. Is that what you're saying?
That's basically correct, but it's a little bit different. The Keiretsu system, as you know, was established in Japan before the Second World War. and was abolished after General MacArthur came to Japan after the defeat of Japan in the war. And he did away with the keiretsus. However, Toyota has always maintained its idea of a keiretsu, or concept, philosophy. And so the three companies that was part of the Toyota group and still is today, Toyota is the assembler. Nippon Denso is the manufacturer of the components and the various additional parts, the subcomponents that go into the car, the vehicle. And then Aishin Seiki is the engine company that makes all the engines. So these three work together. They're all interrelated and they all have major interests in each other. So although they are independent, they still have shares and investments as well. And so the idea was to take this concept and now start this with American car parts makers and have them become part of this group, that's so that we can all work together and support each other to make the car company a successful vehicle launch, not only in North America, but also in the global world that they started. So this was the idea behind that. And so we kind of created like a hybrid, if you want to call it that, from this. Not exactly the original, but something similar and close that can work within a global world as we were starting to look at things from a systems approach. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, and I don't want you to answer this now, but at some point in the future, I will ask you, how do you think that those American companies are doing now, you know, when compared against other ones? But that's not a question for now. That one we will pick up at some other time. Mm-hmm. But can we talk a bit about how this can apply uniformly across business and personal life?
Well, you know, I always mix the business and the professional together with the personal and the daily life, because it always goes together. I mean, even though you try to separate it, it's all together. And the reason for that is you apply the strategic Kaizen thinking in your daily life and your professional career in order to create what I call long-term relationships. You remember, I always talk about long-term relationships.
Oh, yes.
And this is important because from there, everything you do in the business is about people. It's dealing with people and being able to work with people, help them, and they in turn help you to create a win-win. So an example of this, we talked about the A3, a gentleman by the name of Teruyuki Toyoda, who was one of my mentors or senseis. He also taught me how to make an A3. He taught me what is the essence behind it, how to use it, how to apply it. And so it became personal. Now, the interesting thing about Mr. Teruyuki Toyoda is that I met him when I was in Japan studying, not for Nippon Denso, but prior to that, earlier before that.
Oh, wow.
And he had also joined the Toyota company. And so that's how relationships always last. You understand?
Wow. Yes.
Now, the idea behind all that is to learn about how to implement the broader scope of people to help you and to create a win-win for everyone. You understand?
Yes. Keep going. I really enjoy what you're saying.
Okay. So as an example, let me explain to you this way. You remember my Modine story?
Yes.
When we were in Japan, the executives of Modine, Don Johnson, myself, Ray Slosted, the chief engineer, several of their key engineering development people. We were in Japan at that time to get the approval, test approval for their products. And they had worked very vigorously to get this. They felt confident that they would pass the test, no problem, because they tested it themselves for many months and already had records and evidence to show that they could do this. The testing took place in 1 week while we were there. The results came in and Dr. Ishimaru set up a meeting with us to review the results and was interesting. He said that, yes, you did pass, but you did not pass. You passed the lower end of what they call the SPC curve, not the high end of the SPC curve. So yes, we could give you an approval, but if we give you an approval, we would be anticipating based on what we know and understand and experience, that there would be a large amount of warranty claims and repairs on your products for the Toyota vehicles.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So by using the high end of the testing, and if you can maintain the higher end of the SPC chart, then there would be less warranty claims, less repairs, and more profit for everyone. And yes, at the same time, better quality for the vehicles.
And that's,
so this would in turn help us, he said, that for Toyota to achieve the J.D. Powers Award.
Yes, and, so and that's exactly what happened.
Exactly. And so with this, Don Johnson and his team went back and said, let us do it again. And in 30 days, they came back again. We went to Japan again the second time. And now they were at the higher end of the SPC curve. And they continued doing this way. But what was more important was it was a win-win for everyone. You understand now?
Yes, absolutely. I completely understand that. That's a very good example, because one of those things you always say, you know, it's a two-way street, and this is just that. It's a win-win situation, and make sure that all of the players in the dealings are accelerating themselves.
Yeah. And then more importantly, also from a personal standpoint, now we talk about the business side. Yeah.
Yes.
So let me tell you about the personal side. So from this was the first time that Don Johnson really understood how TPS worked. And more importantly, it helped him get promoted to be president of Modine Manufacturing Company.
Yes.
So we're talking about 1974. So by 1980, he had become president of Modine Manufacturing Company. And by the end of 1989, he had become CEO of Modine Manufacturing Company.
Oh.
You can see his career grew through this learning experiences. Okay. And at the same time, for myself, also, I was able to grow. So I went from a Kacho level to a Jicho level, which is the general assistant manager.
Okay.
A Juyaku level, which is the director level, okay, to a vice president, to a senior vice president, finally, and to an executive vice president.
Oh, wow. Yes.
So you can see both sides was win-win.
Oh, yes.
Both sides personally gained as well. And more importantly is that we maintained this relationship and friendship over the years until his passing in 2004.
Oh. And during this relationship, I do remember stories that you have relayed to me about the back and forth, as far as, you know, you give them business, then you take business away, and that's the business side of it. But then you advise each other even on your personal levels.
That's correct. He helped me, as I told you before, with my daughter. I heard my decision whether to accept a new position in an outside company and move to Hong Kong or stay in California and continue supporting my daughter as she goes to school. But it wasn't only Don Johnson. The same thing happened with another gentleman who I'd never mentioned to you. His name is Bob Page of Parker Hannifin Corporation.
Okay.
He was another supplier in Cleveland, Ohio. And Bob and I became good friends. He invited me to stay at his home many times in Chagrin Falls. And so he even took me to the Cleveland Browns football game, froze my butt off in the wintertime in the stadium right off the Lake Erie. But he became also an executive vice president and of his company as well. And he moved from the automotive division into the aerospace division. And then later on, he moved from Cleveland, Ohio to Irvine, California. This is where Parker had their aerospace group located, headquarters. And so it was interesting because he spent time with me. Many times we would meet together here in Southern California. And he then moved back to Chagrin Falls. And over the years, we stayed in touch. I know his daughter and his son very well. And his son is a chef, owns a restaurant in Cleveland, Ohio. So
So yeah,
all the stories come together in the end.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in only the short time that I've been able to experience the way that you operate out there in the world, I have always told people that when it comes to the people side of things, I seldom meet somebody like yourself, and how the people that you interact with, not only on a business level, but also on a personal level. And I hear you so many times give advice to people talking about, you know, the A3 and how to apply that method of thinking and to their personal lives. And I've seen that time and time again. And I've also gotten pictures of you with these people from the vineyards in Italy, where you go to work and visit them, and they take you all over the place, and it just truly amazes me.
Well, that's, you know, what makes life exciting, and that's what keeps me going. Yeah. So you know, another story is that you know, Otmar Hauck, we met him when he was with Volkswagen.
Yes.
He later left Volkswagen, and he became board member for the Kion Group, just outside of Frankfurt,
yes,
in Germany. And he wanted to set up a kind of a Keidetsu idea, a supplier development program for the Kion Group. So he asked me to help him on that. So I went to Germany to help him in Frankfurt. And then he invited many of the key suppliers for them. This is for the products that they were building. And one of the suppliers was a company called Bolzoni.
Oh, yes.
Ramo Bolzoni. You remember them?
Oh, yes.
You and I worked together with them. Yeah,
we did.
So I met at that time the owner, Roberto, who was the, remember him?
Yes,
Roberto?
Yes, absolutely.
Scotty, yeah?
Yes, that's it. Yeah. I was trying to, what's his last name?
Yeah. Yeah, Scotty. And so then he invited me to come to his hometown, which is where he had his their company is located. And that was just outside of Milan. And so we went to Piacenza, remember? And I said, Kim, will you come with me?
Oh, yes.
Because I want you to help me with them.
Yes, yes, yes.
You remember that?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Well, Roberto is a wine connoisseur.
Yes.
And he told me, Nakawi-san, I take you to Alba. We go to the White Truffles Festival, okay, in Alba. And this Alba is famous for the wines called Barolo.
Okay. Okay?
So the Barolo wines are world famous. And there he took me to the wineries. And it was interesting because while I was in Frankfurt one time, at the airport, waiting for my connection to fly back to the U.S., I was in the gift shop, and I met a lady. Her name is Anna, okay,
Abonza,
and she is the owner of Marchetti di Barolo.
Oh, wow.
So we met there at the airport. She invited me to her home, to her winery in Alba. And so when I told this to Roberto, he told me, let's go. And so we spent the weekend there.
Oh, okay.
And we drank their wines.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Well, this is, again, personal. You understand?
Yes.
But then again, with the business side, you mix it together. Okay. And from them, I learned more about Italian wines and how the Italian wines are better than any other wines in the world.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. So it's
very nice.
Everything, as you know, everything with me has to do with food and wine. Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yes. Okay. So let me bring it back a little bit. So you talked about Ishimaru and how Ishimaru was your one of your main mentors. Who was another one?
Ken Amano. Ken Amano was very influential and helpful for me. I met Ken Amano the first time when he came to California. He was actually at that time president of Nippon Denso Canada, located in Toronto. And he came to California where our operations were to see what we were doing. And he and I got to know each other. Later on, he moved to become president of Nippon Denso Australia. And so he invited me to go to Melbourne to see his operations there, the manufacturing of radiators and starter heaters for Toyota vehicles in Australia. And this was, again, in the 70s, in the middle 70s. And then finally, he became returned to the USA and became president of, at that time, Nippon Denso of Los Angeles, Inc., which is where I was based. And so he's always been a great mentor of mine. He broadened my scope. He taught me more and more about how you leave a legacy and leave life using TPS. He almost told me, use TPS for life. But more importantly, he also shared with me a lot of his own learnings and people like Ishimaru that he studied under. He was one of his assistants.
Oh.
And so it all linked together. You understand?
Yes. Yes. And they taught you these concepts and you, I mean, I do like the way you say that, you know, your 70s and 80s were your learning and application years. And mm-hmm. So I'm really interested to see the 90s and 2000. And when did you retire?
2003. At the end of 2002. Yeah.
At the end of 2002. So
yeah,
it's, you know, because I do remember when you retired. It doesn't seem like that long ago.
That's correct.
But yeah. It is. You have taken the concepts and the methodologies and then applied them in such a way that it is really allows you to form relationships that are lifelong, very meaningful relationships.
Yeah, and keep in mind, like everything in PDCA, it doesn't always go the same way that you want. Sometimes the relationships don't last.
Yes.
Sometimes the relationships fail, as you know.
Yes.
It's no different than life. Sometimes you try hard, but it's a one-sided street. So you finally give up after a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all about life and life is not easy. So it's how do you, you know, learn from people like them and try and apply what you can. And not always will I apply it. Many times I fail. I'm also very stubborn and, as you know.
Oh, yes.
And very impatient. So this is, again, part of the life. Yeah.
Those are more stories that we could get into.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not easy. So, you know, you do the best that you can. And so you try and move on each time.
Yes.
It's the lessons learned. Not always a good lesson, but it's the lessons learned.
But you can learn from everything that you do.
Yeah, and basically, I try to apply PDCA wherever possible. Especially, I do a lot of reflection to see, okay, what was positive and why, and what was negative and why, and try to look at the big picture, understand where you are in the big picture, what role can you play, how can you help, who can you help, and why.
Yes. Sometimes I just have to stop and think, you know, and you look back on how something went and how do you adjust and change as you go forward. But definitely one of the things that I learned out of Toyota, and you have emphasized many, many times is the ability to self-reflect and look back and see how you went through a process and a situation and then change it in order to adjust, make small adjustments going forward to improve the way it is next time. And that's what continuous improvement is all about.
Yeah. And I think the biggest challenge is that everyone is different. Everyone has their own ideas of how they want to do things. And so it doesn't always will listen to you. They will not always follow what you suggest or the ideas that you provide them. But at least if you make them think, that's all you can do. Okay?
Yes.
So
that is true. That is true. So anyway, so let's we need to kind of close this up. I do love talking to you. It's always wonderful to hear your thoughts on things. And we have had a lot of years together, and I do really appreciate their years, those years. I would like to thank the audience for tuning in and listening to us today. We are talking with Roy Nakawe about his legacy and the lessons that he has learned in life, and specifically those methodologies that he experienced while working over 40 years within the Toyota production system. In episode one, we covered some of the foundational basics that Roy always lives by, whether that be in his professional life or in his personal life. Roy is definitely not someone that keeps his personal and professional lives separate, but intertwines them, utilizing the same base philosophies. If you haven't heard that podcast, it is available for you to go back and listen to. Along with the Lessons Learned podcast, we have additional materials and resources that further explain the methodologies that you hear about when we refer to the Toyota Production System. You may find these on our website at structuredlean.com. But before we leave, Roy, can you give us some closing remarks on today's content?
Okay, Kimo, I share with you the following. This is what I learned from Dr. Ishimaru and also from Ken Amano and others, but more importantly from those two. One is learn by doing. This is the best way to retain and learn well. Doing trial and error, and this will help you to use PDCA all the time. So apply what you do from that is the second part. So apply what you learn. If you do use it and apply it, make sure you make it practical and make it fit the situation that you see and understand. Not always will it be the way that you learned, but learn to make adjustments and changes. And also make it customized to fit the situation. So look at the situation and say, okay, based on what I know I can do, what can work and not work? And then as long as you see the basic concepts and the philosophy behind that, it is okay. Again, based on PDCA. Example of this is that when I was in Volkswagen FAW China in car plant 2 in Changchun, my students, the Chinese students, learned very quickly. They learned about shop floor management, and they came up with an idea that they could help them to implement it faster and involve more of their workers on the line. And we had a long discussion on this. And so they told me that, Mr. Nakawe, you always tell us, look at the situation, and if it fits, customize it to fit your own needs. And I said, yes, that's true. So that's what we did, they said. I said, okay. But then one of my other students, Mr. Ren Li Ming, he told me, Nakawe-san, but you also told us to keep the standards, and standards are important. So if we change the standards, then we're not keeping the standards. So isn't that a contradiction? And I said, yes, it is. But if it fits better for you and it's going to involve more people doing it the same way for you, and it's going to sustain, then you need to think about maybe it's better to do it that way. And this is, again, the learn by doing and applying what you are doing. So does that make sense? These are my lessons.
Yes, it does. That is PDCA. Thank you, Roy. We have covered the 70s and 80s. But we're not finished yet. During the next podcast, we will focus more on the 80s and the practical application of these concepts that Roy talks about in both business and life in general. So as we close, I wanted to thank Roy for joining us and taking us through his journey in the Toyota Production System, the methodologies that define his career and his life. Thanks, Roy.
Thank you, Kimo.
Until next time, take your 3Gs to new depths. I'm Kimo Oberlo from Structured Lean, and thank you for joining us.